Stick with you.
Hola, hola, hola. Veronica Barragan here, down the rabbit hole co-host with my amazing, super talented,
like,
uberly
hey,
sexy,
hey guys, stop.
Beyond amazing, walking on water practically. Wonderful co-host. How are you today?
That was completely unnecessary. Thank you.
Why is that unnecessary? You can't take all the love, or what? Are you like one of those people that just cannot accept love in their life? Is that who you are?
Apparently.
Well, you know what? You should really try to change that, because life is not supposed to be about receiving and giving love.
You know what? I don't have to change anything, Mom.
I think you should.
I could just accept who I am, right?
I heard today, well, it wasn't today, actually, it was yesterday, that Deepak and Oprah are doing their 21-day meditation challenge. Right now, they do these, like, a few times a year. Free. You guys got to Google it. You download the app, and they're amazing, like, life-changing. And the one that they're doing now is called True Success. And what he was saying is that a successful person knows that they've reached true success when their personal value stems to one word. And you know what that word is?
I don't.
Love, what we just talked about. So if they let themselves be driven by just love, then that is what you call true success. I think, and he was talking about how society has it all messed up. How, you know, we look at success as, oh, who has the most cars, the most houses, which there's nothing wrong with them, but how do you feel inside? You know, what's going on inside? Because many of us can accumulate material objects, but that means nothing as far as, you know, your inner peace, you know, loving relationships that you have in this world, and fulfillment and excitement to live, not just to make some money, you know?
Our whole culture got its priorities incorrect.
Yeah, it's just twisted. It's the conditioning. You know, you start as a kid and you have to go struggle and struggle and struggle. You know, at school, you're being measured. At work, you got to go do something you don't love, but that makes some money so you can pay. What kind of life is that? It's pretty sad. I mean, I think all of us are so important. You know, we're born for a huge reason. And to not be able to share our talents and do what we love, that's a form of slavery, in my opinion. But how did we get on this topic? This is really interesting. Because today we are going to be talking about, maybe this is why, we're going to be talking about our six-day Colorado trip that was absolutely priceless. I can't find the words because it was nothing that I expected, and yet it over-delivered in expectations, if that even makes sense. Like, I could not have expected everything that we experienced, and I guess maybe it's because we went in with no expectations. What do you think?
I definitely didn't come into the trip with a lot of uncertainties and just like ride the wave, you know?
Man, it started with, you know, we're trying to figure out where to go for your birthday and spring break, because your birthday is always on spring break, so we just have to do something cool. And then we decided, let's just go up, you know, to a quiet area. But we couldn't find anything up here in Arizona. So all of a sudden, I went on to Airbnb, which I'm going to give them a plug because I love Airbnb. This is the same website that, you know, we rented that. We stayed in a boat one time in Long Beach. You remember that?
I do.
So it's the from our last podcast, we talked about the book The Zero to One, and they talked about monopolies, like people that just create these amazing businesses because of a need. And the Airbnb is like that, because they put together all of these people that have these amazing houses throughout the world. Yes, throughout the
world. Or boats, or lodges.
Or cabins. Yeah, it doesn't have to be like a house. It could be like a boat, or like you said, like cabin. And they rent them out through this system. So it's almost like we never had that before. We never had a website where they could just do that. You know, we know about timeshares. I'm in real estate, believe me. But it was really cool, the idea. So when I always think about Airbnb, because I'd rather stay in a really cool place than just your typical hotel. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all about the 4-star and 5-stars as well. I mean, I will never say no to it. But sometimes it's cool to just go do something else, you know, especially to stay away. You know, wasn't that your guy? I can never say his name. The podcast that not Joe Rogan.
Duncan Trussell.
Yes, Duncan Trussell. What was he talking about that he, you know, once in a while he just leaves. I mean, he just stays in bed all day. He drinks a couple of beers and just nobody bothers him. And, you know, you need that time to disconnect from the world and from the craziness, to just kind of just take it all back and say, oh, my God, you know. And that's exactly what the purpose of this trip was.
Crestone, Colorado is a perfect place for that.
Well, I had never even heard about Crestone, Colorado.
See?
Population is 112. But what really intrigued me was the house, because it said that you could see the scenery. It was beautiful. Like on the pictures, it was beautiful trees and there was mountains. It was sitting right on the edge of the Sangre de Cristo mountains, which means the blood of Christ. Oh, you know Spanish? Wow. Míralo, Esther. Míralo. Ciao. And so for any of you who don't speak Spanish, what I just told them was, check them out. And it was on the Sangre de Cristo mountains. So the name right away called me, and I was like, okay, this is really cool. But the house intrigued me because it was a house that was built with sacred geometry in mind. So literally the house, what it does, it's supposed to really help you clear your mind and have a clear creativity to open up to visions and dreams. So I was like, whoa, this sounds amazing, you know? And it looked cool. It looked like it had a lot of the stuff that I'm into, which is like meditation.
Wasn't the title of it on Airbnb Exotic Shaman Home?
Yeah, it said Shaman Home. So right away I was like, ooh. And we saw another one that actually cost almost the same, but it was like newer and bigger. And I thought, no, this house is really calling me. It even had a medicine circle in the backyard. So I thought, I've never heard of Crescent, Colorado. Apparently, it's a population of 132, but this house sounds amazing. So why not? You know. So here we go, and I book it. Well, it's in such a remote place in the middle of nowhere that you can't use Google Maps, you can't use MapQuest, you can't use anything. You're basically given instructions on how to get there. And it took us about 10 hours, would you say, from here from Arizona. We ended up driving, which we love to do. Because we ended up taking a lot of food with us. It was a house where I wanted to just kind of stay in the house and enjoy, you know?
I love long drives.
Me too. I love long drives. That's where we can talk smack to each other and fight the whole way and, you know?
Exactly. Well,
exactly. So we're going, and it's freaking scary because we can't find it and it's getting dark. And we end up in this place that's like, it was crazy. It had like mobile home,
like a trailer park in like the middle of the plains, and it was just like we
no
had no
mountains.
Idea where
the
we're
mountains
going.
Were there, but they were far away, but there were no trees. And I thought, this thing lied to me. I cannot believe this is happening. Reception is horrible there, so we're like, oh my god. So we drive around that area and it's not even there. So first of all, I was just like, I'm sorry, family, that I did this to you. You know, I can't believe I brought you guys here. And then we get back and, you know, your dad says, you know, go back and we'll see if we can ask somebody. There's nobody there. And then there's these two people walking and we're like, hey, do you know about this place? And they're like, oh, yeah, you go down there. And then they tell us where we need to go.
Thank the Lord for those two people.
Thank the Lord for those two men. Two men in Crescent, Colorado are now walking. Wherever you are, thank you. So they told us how to get there, so we kept driving, and it was still far from there. And sure enough, as we start getting closer and closer, we start seeing the mountain range, we start seeing the trees and everything, and we go into this, like, private subdivision. It was super cool, like, big, beautiful cabins, and just amazing, you know, but very, very secluded. You know, there's not a lot of people around you. And we finally find it, right? And do you remember the moment when you first walked into the house? Because we saw it from the outside. It was getting dark. And the outside was cool. It's a two-story, you know, rounded off. Looked like a little castle and everything. But I just, my heart was just pounding and thinking, well, what's going to be in there, you know? And what did you think?
I don't know. It just didn't feel real at the time. I was like, what? What are we really here, man? It felt great. It just seemed like the whole, like, decorations and all this stuff inside the house. It was really cool.
The house inside was magical. And I think it was also leading up to the house. The drive to the house was incredible. You know, there was mountains galore and trees galore and snow galore. And we're not used to that in Arizona. But as I was walking into it, I just could not. I just, my heart melted. I mean, you walk in and there's a shrine, right? As you turn to the right on your kitchen, a huge shrine with incense and feathers.
Pictures of mandalas. There's crystals everywhere.
What's a mandala? You got to tell them. We found out what a mandala was this weekend. There are beautiful, basically, paintings that you can meditate on too, but they have very much a lot of spiritual meaning. They had a book called The Celestial Gallery. Remember that?
That book was amazing.
Oh my god, it was probably it's big. It's probably like 2-3 feet. You think? 2 feet.
It was big.
It's big, and you're supposed to look at them and then meditate on them, and they're just drawings that just pull you away from I don't know, from reality. What did it do to you?
You're supposed to, like, start outside, and as you go, you focus, you close into the big center of it, and it's supposed to just like draw you in and just meditate on them.
Yeah, we actually ended up buying a book on that. We bought a lot of books, which we're going to talk about right now. But, you know, the house was just, it was a dream. You know, there was a bedroom downstairs, a full laundry room. The kitchen was beautiful. It just overlooked the entire mountain range, and there was trees all around as you went upstairs, and you had a beautiful jacuzzi tub bathroom and a gorgeous, the master bedroom was, I mean, I can't even describe it to you because there was windows everywhere with just light coming in. And remember the meditation area upstairs?
The whole environment setting was just like perfect as it is. And just the house was just like a giant plus. I'd like never wanted to leave that place because it just felt like, just so comfortable. Just felt like you really just got away and you just, it was nice.
Yeah. And throughout the house, she had all these cool books and amazing books, which we ended up buying a lot of them. Not from her, but when we ended up going to Denver and to Boulder, which we were not supposed to go to there, but we just decided, hey, YOLO life, vámonos.
Yeah.
I know, you hate that word, YOLO, I know.
I
yeah, he does. He started a committee to try to get it out of the system. So you know, the house is magical. Just, it's unbelievable. Waking up and then the sun just shining on your face, and there's a meditation area. There's bells, there's, you know, the meditation bowls, I'm sorry.
Tibetan bowls.
The Tibetan bowls, a lot of Tibetan. You know, and then here we come to find out that Crescent, Colorado is home to lots and lots of spiritual centers, spiritual traditions from all over the world, like not just one.
Not just one religion, multiple. The Vedic and the Hindu, Buddhism, just,
Islam,
just so much.
Everything. I mean, there's actually a walk that you can take. It's like a 16-day thing that you can actually visit all of the centers because there's more than 30, I think. Yeah, there's more than 30. But it's a quiet place. I've never been to the Himalayas, but I can tell you this is probably what the Himalayas are like. It is considered by the Native Americans as holy ground. Did you know that?
Yeah. It was beautiful. I don't know if you could. I'm sure you could compare it to the Himalayas. I don't know, but if you could compare them.
Very tall mountains and the mist and the quietness, the peace.
I clearly could see why the Hindus and the Buddhists would find that as a sacred place, though.
Yeah, me too. And actually, they said that this is the home where Tibetan traditions and spiritual studies or spiritual practices will actually continue to live on, because a lot of the Tibetan teachers, you know, they've been exiled. They've been, you know, they want them dead pretty much because
China communists.
Yeah, because they want the religion to no longer exist. And so many of them have had to run from their hometowns or from their homes and, you know, try to continue to leave the legacy of the tradition. So this is where they're saying that it's going to continue to live on. So it's a very incredibly peaceful, it's just magical. Like everything there, like you open the door and it's just, you could feel the magic, you know, the wind hits your ears and you could feel the magic. And, you know, waking up in the morning to the views of those mountains and sitting on the outside with the sun hitting your face on
the birds singing so much.
Birds singing. There was one day, because I still started studying my Course in Miracles every single day. And one of the lessons that I was doing one day said that, you know, that I would see the face of Christ that day. It was about loving unconditionally and just completely healing and forgiving and understanding your role in this world. And then I thought, wow, this is so magical. You know, I'm here, and what if I see Christ? What am I going to do? I'm going to freak out and run away. And I started taking pictures of the backyard. And when I looked at my camera, I had about 10 pictures, and in all of them, there was this figure that looked like an eye. I couldn't believe it. I screamed. I told Alexander, you've got to see this. And I still have them. I'm going to post them on my Instagram and Twitter eventually, because I have so many photos. But I'm not kidding you. It was the same day that happened.
You know, the home is kind of like perfect for like the hippy dippy, eye crystal gazing human person.
Yes.
But hey, it just felt so peaceful.
Perfect.
And relaxing.
But it's very different than like Sedona, because we go to Sedona so often, and in Sedona you get a lot more of like crystals, and I think more of like the new age. And over here it's more of the ancient traditions. It's the ancient traditions. So we ended up figuring out that this place had amazing things. We ended up going to two spiritual centers. The next day, we had a wonderful breakfast. We had, because I cook amazing,
oh,
and
wow.
I was prepared, you know. Yeah. And I made them chilaquiles. I made them steak and rice, and we made pizzas one day. We made what else did we make? We made.
We never wanted to leave the house. We just wanted to stay there.
Yeah, even though we knew there were these amazing sanctuaries that were waiting for us to go and explore, but we didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave. So we would spend all morning, and then the afternoon, the next day, we found the, remember that, the Temple of Enlightenment, the shrine. How was that?
It was quite the experience, you know. It was just so. You can feel just like the energy, I guess, of just how the commitment and the work and the love they put into that building. And just.
And then they had this amazing shrine where you were able to actually pray. See, this is what I understood and I love about religions and different traditions. All of them have saints or people or who are they devoted to, you know? And this particular shrine was built for a monk that actually came from, as an exiled monk from Tibet, and that was able to, again, continue the tradition. So it was not a temple because you couldn't walk into it. It was a shrine more than anything. It was a symbol of enlightenment. And so there was a lot of history, and it was in the middle of just the entire mountains. And then as you hiked up, it took you up, you went into a shrine where you were actually praying to, like, a deity. What was her name? It wasn't Lakshmi there. It was, I have it right here somewhere, but I don't know. Oh, here she is. Dorje Judranma. So you would do this, you would sit there, and it was like this little closed room, and it was intact and beautiful and colorful, and but it was in the middle of nowhere, huh? It was just insane. And we did a prayer, which I've taken a picture of, and I'll put it up as well. And people just sit there and they contemplate. There's lots of Buddhas all around that people leave money to, and they just leave their offerings. I think I can't explain to you the peace that brought us on. We ended up going to Creston, into a little town. There's probably like three buildings. It's incredibly small. Had the most amazing food at the little cafe.
It's called the Blissful Cafe. That place is awesome, man. Just walking into it, everyone was always like smiling, and everyone was hugging each other. Just like everyone was just so happy. It just felt like so kind.
They do call it a hippie town, but I'm telling you, I think the energy, just, even if you're not a hippie, you go there and you'll turn into a hippie, because I swear, because you're just like, oh my God, everybody's so chill and relaxed. And you know, I don't think everyone's high because of Colorado. Everyone's like, oh, you know, they're all smoking marijuana or anything like that. I don't think so, because we met the most enlightened people that you could see through their eyes.
Genuine happiness.
Yeah, it was like, it was unbelievable, and you could feel it. That's being a token of light, you know, to step it up a little, you know, when you can walk into a room and make people feel like that. So that was the whole feeling. Then the following following day, because we were there for a few days, we decided that we would continue to explore, and we went up to the very top of a mountain. We didn't even realize we were going to come up to this place.
We were just driving. We were seeing, like, what we saw along, and we saw, like, some Buddhist retreats.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, my mom would want to go up there, and we'd just drive up there, just be nosy. And, like, while these people were retreating and, like, doing their meditations and stuff, it said... it says a big poster.
That's when
right
I turned
there.
Around,
yeah.
When I said, do not disturb.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. I really hope we did not disturb. But
I don't think we did.
So we passed that. Then we saw another one. My mom tried to go up there if we can. We were like, nah, not this, not again. So we went and kept on going more. Then we found this awesome other place. What was it called? The ashram?
Yeah, it was I can't say it. It's Haida. Can you translate it?
Haida Kahandi Universal Ashram.
Yeah.
I probably butchered that, but that's what it's called. And they said it was a store and like a, what was it, like a temple? I mean,
yeah.
Not a temple.
Temple.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a temple, the one that we went into.
So since we thought it was a store, I mean a shop, so of course we could go and stuff. So
right.
We wanted to check it out. And then that's when we went. So we go to the first bidding, the temple, because we thought the store was in there, right?
Yeah.
Then that's where we find, was he a Hindu monk? Or he was just like a...
He wasn't, I don't know if he was a monk, because he wasn't dressed like with the traditional monk clothing, but he was definitely
a devotee
or something. But that's the man with the eyes, that you looked in his eyes and I was like,
my.
Wow. It just gave you so much peace.
beautiful eyes of like wisdom, and they're blue, and it was just like, wow.
And he's like, who are these freaking people here? You know, and we get there at 5:50 thing or 5:55. Well, coincidentally, at 6, they're going to hold their ceremony, you know, their religious ceremony. And I thought, and then he said, oh, we were by the temple trying to figure out if we can get in. And he's like, oh, are you here for the ceremony? And I said, oh, it's, what time is it? You know, and he's like, oh, it's going to start right now in a few minutes. And I said, oh, well, yeah, can we stay? And he's like, oh, yes, you can stay.
Right away, she's, oh, yes, I'd love to. I'm so glad you said that. I was like, what are we going to do?
But it was just us.
Yeah, it was just the two of them.
It was another lady that came.
I think that was his wife, right? Uh-huh. And it was just,
or
who
knows,
just my family.
It may not be his wife.
It might not be his wife. But
no.
Like,
so the shrine is built, or the temple is built after ashram. And ashram, see, in Indian tradition, and this is what I've learned from Yogananda, an autobiography of a yogi, is that there's been several incarnations of they're called the spiritual teachers, okay? So the ashram was somebody who embodied God pretty much, and was someone like Jesus Christ and somebody like Buddha, somebody who just reflected complete inner peace and really awakened in their conscious body, human body. And there's several of them.
There's a lot of those.
There's a lot of those. It's not just one or two. Ashram was just one.
That's his name. That was Babaji.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Bajabi was his name. You are so right. But I think his first name was Ashram.
Are you sure?
Yeah. We have to check that out. I'll check it out right now.
Well, definitely. I guess you could call it their guru was Babaji.
Yes.
And there's a lot of those. Just like Ram Dass's was Maharaji. And
yes.
Just there's a bunch of those.
Right. So I think when in Ram Dass says, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. So if you're seeking for someone like that, you know, deep down, he says that all of us are our own gurus, but there are people like this. And I do believe that, you know, we just don't hear about them. We just don't really, you know, people don't say, oh, this person, I feel like probably they don't want the fame and all of that. You know, there's a lot of people that are really walking gods. And what I mean by that is I feel like all of us are gods. But they're in full consciousness at a level that is beyond the body, and I truly do believe in that. So we walked in. He's telling us, yes, come in. And then we don't know what to do. They say to take off your shoes before the temple. We have been to one. We went to the Temple of Enlightenment here.
That wasn't really similar.
It was not at all, because it said to take off your shoes, and we're like, oh my god. And Damien, our 10-year-old. He's like, I don't want to go, Mom. This is no. What are you doing, Mom? We don't even know what to do. And we're standing in this little room right before you get into this big, beautiful. It's like, it's not a temple as far as it's round, you know. So it doesn't have like the spiky, churchy look. It's just a beautiful round, overlooking the entire mountains, and it's just huge in there. So we're like, okay, what do we do? So he's putting around some. He's just kind of walking around doing things in there while we're watching him. Remember? And we're like, do we go in or what do we do? And I said, no, let's just wait here. You know, we know it's 6:00, but I don't know what to do in there. So we waited and waited. And I'm so glad you guys were team players. But we waited and waited. And then, bam, he's like showing us, come on in, like with his hand. And I thought, okay, I think it's safe for us to go. And he really doesn't even know what to do with us either. He's like, why are these people here? Like, probably. But to them,
we don't know.
No, but to them, anybody who comes is perfect. You know, there's not a... It's not about a religion. It's about just the seeking, you know, or trying to find that peace and that connection with God. So he lets us in and he says, just come here closer. And it's a big, beautiful place. But as we get closer, there's like a door, right? And it's hiding something. And I can't even describe to you how beautiful it is in there. I mean, all around there's like beautiful pictures, and then it's just windows galore on the door. Do you remember that?
I do. It's beautiful. I don't know.
It's priceless. And then we go in there, and we're going to be part of the ceremony that's going to be an hour long, and we don't know what we're going to do. So we.
She asked us, the girl walks in, and she asked us, would you guys like to participate through the whole thing or just 30 minutes? And I'm pretty sure we said 30 minutes, but we ended up doing
the whole thing,
which I'm so glad we did.
Yeah, because we were basically reading Sanskrit. You know, our 10-year-old.
For first, he was cleansing the place. You remember he had the water
and
she
was playing the music.
Yeah,
huh?
Well, while she was playing the music, he was walking around with the
with sage, it looked like, with water in the end.
I'm not sure.
Because he splashed us, all of us. I was like, ah! Seriously, I'm like, oh my God, what does this mean?
And he was just like, he was walking through every part of the room, he was just like, flick, flick, throwing something in there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember completely.
And then as he's doing that, you know, she's playing this cool, what is that instrument called? It's not an accordion, but all of the...
It was at the temple of, the other church. That
yeah. So I don't know what it is.
Beautiful music.
Beautiful music, and we're singing, and then they're so kind. They give us like a little book for us to follow. And we're like, okay.
Before that, they gave us the bells, remember?
Oh, yeah. Tell them about the bells.
Oh, my. So as he was going around cleansing the place, I believe, we had bells, and we were supposed to just ring them, just peacefully with the tone of the music, I guess. The girls it ring them, too. And I guess my brother and my dad were really having a fun time doing that. And they're just, like, ringing the crap out of them, like, really loud and just, like, obnoxious. I don't know if, like, you're supposed to do, like, a certain tone or melody. But if you were, that was completely off because it was just, like, so... It was trying to, like, make it as loud as possible. Like, what? Come on, relax, guys. But
they thought they were in a Mexican mariachi or a banda.
Yeah, I could be wrong. You could probably do it as hard as you want.
I think you could do it as ever you feel like it. I don't think there's a rule that says do it. I would forget sometimes because I was so mesmerized.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's walking around the whole, he's blessing the whole thing, and then we're ringing the bells. And then she's playing, and then that's when we sit down, and we actually, we're sitting on these pillows, which are amazing. They're expensive. I was going to buy one, and they were like $100. Yes, uh-huh. But they're amazing. I love them. I'm going to get one next time I go. And we're sitting there, and then that's when we start reading the Sanskrit, you know, and then the prayers and all of that. And honestly, I didn't want to make eye contact with any of you guys because I thought at first, either they're going to make me laugh at them because they're probably like, what the hell are we doing here, Mom? Or I'm going to be like out of my zone. I need to just focus on what's going on here. That's when he opened the door. Oh, my God. What about when he opened the door?
It was like a bright light of just like beauty.
So there was this like, I don't know how to describe it to you, but what they actually worship, or what they're devoted to is as mother. They call her mother, and they sell a lot of her stuff on at the shop and stuff like that. But mother, we try to look it up because they talk about the divine mother, and talk about Maha Lakshini. So the divine mother is really. It's an incarnation of several, they've named three different deities, like Lakshmi and all that. But I compare it to, when I saw it open up like that, I was not really scared because in Mexico, each one of the little towns, because they're not
very
even cities. Yeah, very similar. In Mexico, we have each of the little towns, they all have like fiestas every year, like huge parties. And each of the parties is in honor of a virgin or a saint. So that's what they do. Each of the little towns have their like own little saints or virgins, not little, I don't want to say little, but saints or virgins that they're devoted to because of the miracles that they have done in that particular town or whatever, right? And what they do in Mexico, like in Mexico where I'm from, Michoacán, El Rancho de San Antonio, that's in Michoacán, Mexico. It's known as the butterfly state, filled with avocados, green, beautiful, gorgeous. We have as well a virgin, and they dress her up for the day of the fiesta, and they walk her around the entire town. And they dress her up where it's beautiful, and the saints and baby Jesus and all of that. So to me, when I saw that, I thought, oh, my God, that's like us, you know, like what I used to do when I was little. And that's the thing, like, how could we not believe in all these beautiful, mystical, amazing creatures that came into this world? How could, like, when I hear people talk about, I remember one time when I was starting to get into, like, Hinduism and stuff like that, you know, somebody told me, you know, oh, now you believe in elephants and all this stuff, and I felt really bad because I was like, well, maybe God is not an elephant, but God is anything. God could be anything, and just because I have the Virgin Mary doesn't mean that your divine mother is better or less than mine. To me, it was a beautiful moment of seeing how devoted they were to this vision. I don't even know what to call her. To this, you know.
And that's exactly what their guru Babaji said, that he wasn't entitled to just one religion, even though it was mostly from the Indian tradition that they worship him, I guess. But he was, because he said that how all religions lead to the same God.
Exactly, and that's how it felt. It was magical. I mean, we stayed for the whole thing, and we continued singing and praying and did all that. And, you know, I got a really huge aha moment in thinking that all of these people that are here, you know, because I thought, why did you bring me here, God? Do you want me to give up my life as a Westerner and just come here and pray? And is that, because I don't want to do that, God. Like, I love being myself and being out there. And then I got a message, of course, that's not what you're supposed to do, but you're here to experience the beauty of being devoted to the magic of that is God, you know, to the unexplainable. I think, you know, we walk around and most people are so afraid of death, but they don't live every single day. And I guess it just exposed me to, there's so much more, Veronica, there's so much more, you know, that you have not even scratched the surface of what this life could possibly be. And it even brought it even more closer together to me, was because when we went, the ceremony was over, it was cool. They gave us like a handful of like sweets and chocolate.
Nuts and stuff.
So we were eating them with them. We didn't know if we should eat them with them or not. And you know, we told her, once everything was over, we thanked them so much. It was absolutely beautiful. And we said, you know, can we go to the gift shop now? And we followed her. I don't know if that's his wife, but we followed her. And she told us about her time when she started going to India and how she started getting into all of this. She was an American woman, and how she started getting through mindfulness meditation. Is that what she said? Or transcendental meditation, which is a meditation you actually have to like study and learn. It's not something you can pull off of YouTube, which a lot of us do. And then I told her, how was it? How was it your time that you spent with Babaji? How was that? And she said, I can't even tell you how much she lit up. And she said, it was absolutely beautiful. And she did like a breath, like, she was like, it was absolutely beautiful. And I knew that there was truth in that. And I thought, wow, you know, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. So I don't know what to do with it. But, you know, when we got back, we're like, did all of that just really happen? I mean, it was the most beautiful thing in the world. And I just felt like I was part of something bigger. You know, they're there still right now. All those spiritual centers in Crescent are open. We went to another one, the Labyrinth, which had closed down. But they were, somebody else had bought it, and there's literally a labyrinth that's a replica of what's in France of the spiritual path that we all take here as human beings, each and every one of us. And it's and we walked it and did all that. So all of those things, now that I'm here in Arizona, I'm like, they're still back there. You know, she's still there praying for the world. Sometimes I think that because of people like them, we're not as fucked up as we are. I mean, we are messed up, you know? This world is ultimately, I believe that humanity is good, and that because there are people like this that shine their So yeah, I mean, sorry about that. So we it was just a different perspective of the people that I think take care of this world with prayer, you know, like our spiritual leaders. At the same time, you know, it really took me to a place of like, God, I have barely scratched the surface of what this life could possibly be. And man, I just want to keep exploring. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Exactly.
And we couldn't get enough. We read too many great things, and we said, we're not going home. You know, we decided to continue to explore. We ended up in Denver. Denver is a beautiful town. What did you think of Denver? Oh, wait, do you want to say anything else before we, Creston? Because I think people should know about this place, you know. I think no one knows about it because it only comes to those that actually are ready for it.
I don't know.
It's like when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
I'm not sure about that. I mean,
what do you think?
I think everyone should visit it. It's just a beautiful place. We could probably post links of the ashram and stuff like that online later. See, I would love for people to check that place out. And just, if anyone needs to just get away and just needs to have that time for themselves, I definitely recommend going to this beautiful, relaxing place.
There were a lot of miracles that happened there. A lot of paradigm shifts that I had.
But I don't think it was pure bliss for me. At times, I had my ego. When we were reading the Sanskrit, I was like, these people are idolizing them like, so much. But then I realized, what am I saying? These people have beautiful attributes. They practice love and they practice things that, I don't know, I knew that I was wrong.
I feel the same way as you did, me too. Of course I lost it. There were times when I told Damien, if you leave your shoes again in the living room, I'm going to whoop your butt. And there were times when I was just like, I guess it was a fear that I had to go back. Like I just was having so, I was so enjoying it that to think that I had to go back to the reality of the Western world was like, oh my God, I just feel like I need to stay here. You know, many times we contemplated calling her and sending her an offer for her house many times. But the beauty of it was that we experienced all these amazing things and we had an amazing time. And then we didn't want to go home, so we ended up going to Denver. And we explored Denver, and then from there, we went to Boulder, Colorado, and then from there, we went to Colorado Springs. But it was all like God had left little puzzle pieces or little trails. It was like, God, go here and here, because amazing miracles happen in each and every one. When we walked into the house, we forgot to tell you that we found a book, and the book was called...
Shambhala.
So throughout...
I might say that. I might have said that wrong.
So throughout the days that we were there, while I was cooking, sitting in the back, Alexander would read it to me, and, you know, we got into it. And because it was one of those books where you start and you're like, whoa. So it's literally, it's about the sacred path of the warrior. And we just thought, wow, you know, this book is, I've never heard of it. So we started reading it, right?
And as in warrior, they don't mean the aggressor, the guy with the sword, the gun. The man, what is it? Like, what is it called? The person... Bravery, the person that
sees the fear and does it anyways. It's basically somebody who's not at war with the world, but understands that there could be a war within themselves, and that's the only battle that there is to fight, is the way I understood it. Like, there is, you know, so many of us are easy to blame other people for our misfortunes or our unhappiness, but the truth is that, you know, we create our reality, and it really makes you take accountability. It's not a religion. It's not a it's a practice. It's just finding that bravery inside of you and being able to transcend fear into love. It's what every other spiritual book says, but yet in different terminology, you know?
Because it is a manual for people who have lost the principles of sacredness, dignity, and warriorship in their lives.
Yep. So we found that book, and then we kept going. We went to Denver, had a blast. We went to Boulder, and we walk into this... by the way, the bookstores in Colorado are insane, you know. They are the most beautiful bookstores. I mean, every book that I could ever imagine on any spiritual practices was there, you know. It was beyond my imagination. But in Boulder, we actually come downstairs and we see that we end up at the Naropa University a bookstore, which is one of the universities that Alexander has been contemplating attending. And then we see the book there, and then we find out that the founder of that university actually is...
the author of that book.
Yes. And we're like, oh my God, what a cool... So it was like leaving us trails, like go here, go here, go here, here. So from there, we ended up going to Naropa University. Talk about amazing, you know, when you walk into a university and in each of the buildings, they have a meditation hall. I'm just like, whoa, I'm not leaving. I'm going to college with you, Ali. You're going to college? No, I'm going in. We're moving in together. You're getting your own dorm, and I'll get my own. You ready for this experience?
Sure, Mom.
So just everything was just so perfect, and that's when we knew that it was time to come home or to come to Arizona, because we had experienced what we needed to. And I'm not going to tell you that we came back. I didn't come back like a saint, like not yelling, not getting mad, because quite honestly, it was the opposite. I came back very flustered, very just honestly, like, didn't know what to do with all of everything that had happened. And I saw the reasons why I was led to that place, to all the places we went to, and yet the fear and the conditioning of my mind still really messed with me. I just thought, I just want to be there, and I don't want to be here, and you know how that feels. I think many people, when they go on vacation and they come back to reality, they're like, ugh. And then there's some people that go and then they come back and then they work hard just so they could keep going. And that's what I don't agree with. I just don't agree that your life should be a struggle. I don't agree that your life should be get, you know, accumulate. And the hardest thing is that I don't know how to not live like that. You know, we know it's not supposed to be like that. So how do we change it? So the only solution is to buy lots of books again. Because we bought a lot of books. Oh, my God.
So when we were in that house, and, like, whenever we screamed or whenever we got mad or anything, we'd, like, obviously, like, see some picture of, like, Krishna or some magical, everywhere you go. So you're like, all right, what am I doing? Why I can't get angry with this environment and stuff. So just try to bring that environment everywhere around you. Always see that. Obviously, I have not mastered this at all, but that's what it is. When I came back, that's what I've been trying to do. I'm trying to see those images of those things everywhere around me.
Well,
it's there.
Yeah, and you're right, because anytime I try to get mad because you guys didn't clean the kitchen right or something, and we all worked hard, you know, I cooked, but you guys cleaned, and it was never, or you were helping me cook, you know, you did that amazing pancakes, banana pancakes, and that, what did you make, the cornbread? Yeah. Ali, you are on fire. But I want to go back to what you just said right now, because I finally heard this. And one of the books that we picked up was Ram Dass, Remember.
Be Here Now.
And
the very first book.
And he was talking about his guru, and his guru was telling him, you know, all you got to do is love everyone and say the truth. And Ram Dass was like, all right, I have to do that. But he was also not allowed to touch money. So he was pissed off because it was just the rituals they were doing to try to get him out of being a human being. But he's like, I can't lie. You tell me to tell the truth. I hate all of these monks around me. Like, this one, I hate him because of this. This one, I hate him because of that. This one, I hate him because of that. And one time they left him back in the village and made him walk like 45 minutes. While they were already eating their lunch and everything all happy, he had to walk. Because he couldn't touch money, so, and they didn't pay for him. So when he got there, they gave him a suit, and he threw it at the guy's face. And he's like, I hate you, you know. And then his guru, Maharaji, comes and says, Ram Dass, because he makes a funny voice, and he's like, Ram Dass, I thought I told you that the only two things you could do is love.
Did you read this in the book?
No, it's an audio. It's a YouTube video about this book.
Oh, really?
So he's talking about this book. Yeah, it's amazing. So he says, I told you to say the truth and to love everyone. And then his guru tells him. And Ram Dass says, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't love them. I don't love any of them. That one has this, this, this. And you told me to tell you the truth, so I'm telling you the truth. And then the Maharaji comes up to him and says, Ram Dass, love everyone and say the truth. And he said that at that moment, the energy that he just portrayed, it was just something that just transformed. And he looked around and all he could see was love, you know. So it was a big lesson for him. So why I'm saying this is because all of us lose it. All of us have our moments. All of us do. Do I believe that there are people that don't have moments like that? Absolutely. Eckhart Tolle probably never has a moment like this. Eckhart Tolle, you know, he's probably doesn't have it. But if it does happen, you know, the number one thing that I think kills your spirit, and that's your truth, is the guilt. So first of all, you do something that's out of alignment, which could be anger, fear, whatever, or feel something or say something. And then you feel guilty about doing it, and it's a cycle that doesn't end. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard that Ram Dass had gone through something like this, he threw the food at the freaking monk, you know? it almost made me feel better. I was like, hell yeah, Ram Dass is this, and I'm okay for that one time that I did this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not about that. It's, yes, it helped. The house helped, where everywhere you looked, there was a reminder. And if you need to do that to your house, do it. Like, please, I want to. But at the same time, don't be so hard on yourself, you know? Just don't be so damn hard on yourself. So that's one of the ones we got. We got the little book of Hindu deities. This is for Damien, and it's actually super cute because I don't know a lot about this. And so I'm learning as he read to us on the way home, which was a long drive. And he's really getting into it. So I think he actually really enjoys it. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to do some YouTube videos on that. Coloring mandalas, definitely you guys need to check it out. It's really, how did you feel? I mean, you were coloring them on the way. And mandalas, again, is those meditation pictures. How did you feel as you were driving home and coloring these in?
It was just so peaceful when you were just coloring this in your little world of mandalas, and you looked up and you saw the plains or the mountains. It just felt very peaceful. I don't know.
Very peaceful. And then there's Shambhala. Don't forget to get that one. And then we have one that's rated R, and we can't tell you about it because, you know.
My mom is a turd and likes.
It's not that. It's called the Enlightened Sex Manual.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing.
All right.
Sexual skills for the superior love. I think, you know, people should, in everything that they do, they should step it up, you know. Don't you think? If you're going to run a marathon, do it better. If you're going to eat something, eat better. If you're going to do any of this, if you're going to have love, have a fantastic, loving relationship where there's no inhibitions and you can be fully vulnerable. Don't you think?
Yeah.
It was funny when Damien found this book. He was like, his face was hilarious. He's like, Mom. It was funny. You got to be open, guys. Got to keep it real and just do what you got to do. So we got a lot of reading to do. And I'm pretty sure next week we're going to probably pick one of these books and talk about it. Because there's a lot of info that we picked up. And I just want to say thank you for your birthday and for spring break because I had a blast. I really got to meet you more.
Okay.
I did. I got to know your true soul. I got to really embrace you. We had such a blast. It was just such a blast. And every day we didn't know when we were going to come home. And we didn't really, it was just so carefree. And please, everyone, do it. Please, you need this in your life.
Yeah. Definitely.
So what do you think overall? If you want to summarize your trip?
I can't summarize it in just one word. It's
hard.
Too hard. It was undescribable.
Oh, that's a good word. Well, I love you, and I love all of us, and I'm excited for what's to come. It really left me with a lot of clarity, that's for sure. So get ready, world. We be coming. Coming your way.
All right. Love that.
Well, I think I've been coming for like 34 years, so it's okay, you know. I mean, at this point, it's just about executing and having no limits. Honestly, that's how I feel. I have no limits. Like, God, this is what I want. I don't know how you're going to deliver. That's not my business. You know, I'm just here to receive.
The universe will have it fall in place.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing. So stay open-minded, guys. I promise you. I think traveling is the best education that any of our children can get because you're not being compared. You're not being tested. You're not being told. I mean, not that I'm saying school's bad. I told you, you don't even have a choice. You're going to university, so you don't have a choice.
All right. Well,
but what I'm saying is, especially when you get ready to go to university, guys, find something that you love at least. And don't settle. In school, do what you got to do. Get the best grades because it's just a system that you can pass. It is. It is.
Yeah.
And then go to university and be happy and do what you really want to do. I think you're going to probably end up being a Ram Dass or Tom.
No.
So. Timothy Leary or something like that. I don't know, Alexander. You're kind of up there. You're kind of. I did realize what a weird freak you are. That's true. That is
yes.
true.
I realize how much a weird freak my family is too. Yeah.
That's an understatement. I love you so much.
Love you too.
Thank you for the best experience ever. I can't believe that we didn't get credit to our beautiful United States of America. Every time we think of traveling, we're like, oh, let's go somewhere like Thailand or, you know, Paris. We never ever think, what about the USA? And there's a lot of great places. So if you're seeking for some peace, if you need help with booking a place, and Kristen, we would love to assist because we are loving that place now. And whatever else we can help you with. Thank you guys so much for listening. It's our pleasure to do this every week. We were excited to do this. We just were so freaking busy. But it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Mom. Take it sleazy.
Take it sleazy, Wheezy. Have a great day. Bye.